Good morning. It's great to have you with us. I know people have come from some long distances or just across town. Debbie touched a lot of people's lives. And so we're glad that you were able to make it. If you need a little more room, there are just a couple seats here closer if you're looking for a place to come in. Just a couple announcements just as we begin here. One, just for you to note, if you've been sitting here kind of waiting and looking at the slides of pictures, but you also noticed there was some photography paired with scripture verses. Those are there because that is the work of Debbie Talbert, who was a gifted photographer and yet paired them with scripture. And actually, what we do at Meadowlands is when someone has a loved one who passes away, we actually give them a gift of one of those framed scripture verses with a beautiful scene from Alberta. And so so that ministry of Debbie's has even been one that we've been able to use and will continue to use as a ministry to others who are hurting. And so so as you see those, when we have lunch a little bit later, there'll also be a screen in there with those pictures. So you want to take note of those. That's one reason why they are so special. As you came in, there was a sign-in book and an opportunity for you to write some memories. You may not have had much time to do that before the service, but afterwards, I think it will be moved to the gymnasium where we'll have our lunch. And so encourage you to write a memory, but even if you don't have anything to write, please at least put your name there, that you're here, and that will be a blessing to a family, just to have a record of each person that is here. We will have a time immediately following the service for lunch, and everyone is invited to this reception. There has already been a burial service beforehand. And so so the family will be there. That would be a great opportunity for you to talk to family and friends. And really not an occasion that we were looking forward to, and yet a great reunion of many people through ministries and service and local churches that have come together. And so we'll have a special time of fellowship and meal immediately following the service, and everyone is invited. We have plenty of food. We'd love for you to be a part of that. And also note, we are glad that there are a lot of young people here in the room. There is a nursery available for ages 0 to 3. And so if at some point during the service you'd like to utilize that, you could just go out the back door. There should be an usher there that can direct you to where that is. Also, if you need to go out for whatever reason, in the lobby is a screen of what's going on in here, as well as sound. And so you could even catch the service if you have to slip out for some reason. But so glad that you were here. We're going to get to hear from several people in sharing some memories. One thing that we're all going to get to do is sing, and sing a lot. We have Debbie has picked out 6 songs that she wants us to sing, and I think as we sing the words, you'll realize why. And so, what a blessing for us to gather together to remember Debbie Talbert, but also to glorify her Savior and rest in the hope that we have. Let's open in prayer, and then we will sing together. Our Father, we are grateful that you are the sovereign King. We rest when we have unanswered questions, that you have a plan, that your way is best. And we're thankful that even when we are in the dark valley, we are not alone, for you are right there with us. Your rod and staff, they comfort us. So, Father, in this occasion, as we pause to think about a life that touched each one of ours, and as we think about the truth that she clung to in this life, and the realization of those promises for her now, I pray that each one of us would find hope and comfort and salvation in Jesus Christ. We pray for all that goes on in this service, that it would be pleasing to you. And we thank you for this opportunity that we have to sing and together lift our voices in the hope that we have found in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, as Pastor Kevin said, Mom loved to sing. She chose all these hymns herself. And so if you are not familiar with the songs, we'll have them on the screen behind me. And let's all stand together so that you can see. Also in your hymnal, if you have that. Sing together.
O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Under the shadow of thy throne, thy saints have dwelt secure.
Defense is sure. Before thy
the 90th Psalm. It is a psalm that God's people have turned to for thousands of years in their struggles with grief and loss. But Mom and all who know the Lord Jesus have a greater hope, and that is in the salvation that comes through Christ. And so let's sing about that, number 161, if you want to use a hymnal, or you're welcome to just follow along on the screen.
Logan. I'm one of the pastors of Lighthouse Baptist Church, of whom Debbie was a member. I serve alongside Pastor Bud, her husband, and I have the great privilege of having been able to call her like a spiritual mother to me for just about a decade. So I'm very honored to be able to read scripture as I've been asked to do and give a comment on that as it relates to our sister. I'm going to read from Judges chapter 5. Verse 6 through 7. And I'm reading the Song of Deborah, of whom our sister Debbie is named from, shares the same name of. So Judges 5, verse 6. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were abandoned, and travelers kept to the byways. The villagers ceased in Israel. They ceased to be until I arose. I, Deborah, arose as a mother in Israel. The prophetess Deborah was known as this mother in Israel. She came to encourage and comfort the people of God as they were afraid, as they were scattered They were physically oppressed, but they were also spiritually lost in many ways. They needed a lot of help, and God raised up this woman, Deborah, to come to them, to be a mother to them, a nurturer, as well as an exhorter, as many of you who know the stories of Judges know about Deborah. And as I reflected on Debbie Talbert, she was like this at Lighthouse in many ways, a mother to the church, a mother in Israel in that sense, a nurturer, a comforter, a mentor to many of the women here, my wife. I know how much she meant to my wife and how much of a blessing that has been in my home in turn. But not only as Debbie came alongside the ladies of the church was she a blessing, but I could speak of my own experience with Debbie when she needed to lovingly exhort me, when she needed to come alongside me. She'd always preface it by saying, "I feel like a mother in the church, so please bear with me, hear this word." And I would say, "You are like a mother to the church, you're like a mother to me." And so many of you could express how she was like a mother to you in many ways. And just as Deborah is remembered from the scripture for this, we're going to remember our sister Debbie in the same way. And her influence, how God's used her in the lives of many of us here. We are to take her words, take her example, and then glorify God. Follow the good that we saw in her as she followed our Master Jesus Christ. So I'm very honored to read that and point to our Lord, the grace that he gave our sister Debbie, and being a mother to us in this way. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm going to begin this morning reading a eulogy by Jan Patterson, Debbie's sister-in-law and precious friend. I have the privilege of memories with Debbie that no one else has, that of sharing wedding and anniversary times together. Since the preparation days of our double wedding, and many of the following 43 years and anniversaries we spent together, I have enjoyed Debbie's patient, wise, fun-loving self. The Lord gave us precious and memorable times together, often for anniversaries, in the mountains, at the beach, and 3 wonderful weeks in the UK for our 30th. I always knew Debbie would give me straightforward yet kind counsel and rebuke. I loved her ability to cut to the quick, as well as empathize. We had endless discussions about marriage, children, our ministries, our spiritual walk, and the truths of God's word. In spite of the years of physical separation due to our ministries, she was my closest friend, and I miss her dearly. She leaves such a hole in my life. But I am so excited for her and can't wait to see her in her new home where we will be forever with the Lord. Thank you, Jan. My name is Lisa Miller, and in 2007, my husband, Michael, and I moved to Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Pastor Dub and Debbie Talbert had faithfully served for 20 years in Calgary, where Pastor Bud had planted Foundation Baptist Church. The Talberts would soon be moving north to this cold, barren city of Edmonton. Even in our first few days in Calgary, I learned one thing. To know Mrs. T is to love Mrs. T. Mrs. Talbert had a warmth, genuineness, and transparency that made each person feel at home with her. God used her as a mother figure and the lives of Christian ladies all across Western Canada. Many first-generation Christians look to Mrs. Talbert as an example, a mentor, and a friend, as did many young ladies like myself who lived a physical distance from our own moms. Mrs. Talbert was a Titus II woman, adorning the doctrine of God by her example and her words. Her life was not her own. She was intent on giving God glory. When Mrs. T sent you an email, you'll remember she would usually include Psalm 34:3 on the bottom. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Her desire was to see God glorified here in Alberta. In December, God gave our family the opportunity to sit down with Pastor and Mrs. Talbert in their home for one final visit. Her God focus was on full display when she encouraged us with these words. So many Christians ask, why me when facing a trial? But I ask this question, why not me? In other words, she was saying, it's not about me. It's about the glory of God. If she was with us today, she would want us to make much of the God who saved her. Mrs. Talbert lived with this God focus. She lived in the fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom. It was very apparent that God gave Mrs. Talbert a humility and wisdom that were not her own. Time with her was always time well spent. Forget the fluffy conversations. She had a way of connecting with hearts, with practical wisdom and love. Mrs. Talbert encouraged me to think truth, speak truth, and live truth. One way that Mrs. T was like Jesus is that she loved kids. Even while Mrs. Talbert was suffering, she was thinking of others. During our final visit with her, she told our daughter Madison she had a gift she wanted her to open. Inside was a teacup and saucer with these instructions from Mrs. Talbert. When you use this teacup, I want you to remember me and thank God we could be special friends. And then I want you to pray for a missionary. This past Sunday, after we had learned of Mrs. Talbert's passing, Madison and I sat down for a cup of tea together with a teacup from Mrs. Talbert. We prayed for a missionary, and then we thanked God for the time he gave us with Mrs. Talbert. Our special friend and faithful missionary hero who gave her life for God's kingdom work here in Alberta, Canada.
Tell you no stories, sing songs that make me think about where I'm. Hello, I'm Holly Williams. I'm a pastor's wife here at Meadowlands, and I'm wearing a scarf today in memory of Debbie, bought on the streets of Jerusalem with her at an amazing Holy Land trip in 2012. She loved photography, and she took a picture right about here at our ladies' retreat, if my memory serves me right, and she would rejoice that you're all here today, so I'm going to take a few pictures. Perfect. How do you sum up Debbie in a few minutes? You can't, but I'm going to try to tell you what 21 of us, ministry wives of Western Canada, would summarize together. Debbie was the first arrival of our fellowship back in 1988, so we considered her like a matriarch, and by that I mean a highly respected woman who is a mother. She was a godly mother, but also a mother-like figure to ministry wives, as has already been mentioned many times. When you were with her in her presence, you knew you were loved. She taught all of us, not like a stern, judgmental, by-the-rule-book teacher, but as one who had gone before us and as a mentor that had much wisdom from experience. One said, her wisdom and gentleness in recommending how to respond to trials and burdens left me feeling comforted, exhorted, and loved. She was quick to listen and ask good questions, providing open space for us to share and trustworthy ears to hear. She wasn't so quick to speak all her mind and opinions. Compassion could be found in her and a desire to walk beside us with love and humility. She had a God-given ability to have you unexpectedly open up and share deep burdens, sometimes things you wouldn't have previously put into words. She shared both biblical and practical wisdom. She used scriptures concerning our struggles, our needs, and growth. Because she was a woman of God's word and she studied it every day, it showed up in the fruits of the Spirit that we saw in her. Her practical wisdom came out like where was the best place to get a certain item would be, or how to stretch a dollar. She was known as the Alberta Book Lady. She would buy good books, used and new, at discount, and bring her tables full of special finds at her ladies' retreats. She was passionate about ladies being immersed in solid Christian resources. During her latter years, she had added her pretty handcrafted encouraging greeting cards and her artwork canvases of her Alberta photography put to verse, as my husband mentioned earlier. Debbie took time to enjoy and recreate beautiful things, like capturing that rugged mountain perfectly glinted with snow, or the farmer's field white into harvest. Several have had the opportunity to experience her hospitality and have said that she would put in the guest room fresh, fragrant flowers that reminded them of home, welcoming snacks and drinks, and engage in personal, heartfelt conversations. Some have carried over these ideas to their own guest rooms. She also was careful about dietary needs and those of those who visited. She was a good cook, and when a cookbook was made from our church many years ago, she was the biggest contributor. I know when her health required dietary changes several years ago, it was hard for her, like it is for anyone that has to go through that. But she wasn't a complainer, and she learned to adapt to find the best places for gluten-free. She introduced me to some of those places. If anyone is here from Chartier, then Debbie is the one that introduced me to your lovely restaurant, and we spent several special times there. All the biblical pictures of a godly woman that we try to emulate in the Bible were pretty much summed up in Debbie. The Proverbs 31 woman and the Titus 2 definitely were characteristic of her. She lived out the Titus 2 older woman mentality, and didn't let her lack of energy and health in recent years keep her from mentoring and discipling other ladies, even if it meant doing it by phone and video conference. She was a testimony of a respectful, doting, and loving wife, of a supportive and praying mother, an involved grandmother, and even purple grandma to many added little friends. She was passionate about pouring into ladies. She was an encourager, and she also knew how to challenge one to their greatest potential. I often would be reminded to take care of myself because she knew how busy ministry is. Debbie was also human and had frustrations, questions, wrestlings, and discouragements. She never stopped growing in Christ until the very end. She wanted to be biblical, not just traditional. If she needed to step back and look at something with fresh eyes and not how she had always seen it, then she did. If her thinking had to be realigned towards Scripture, then she realigned it. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. Or some translations say, laugh. Debbie had a really good laugh. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hand, and let her work praise her in the gates. Proverbs 31, 25 through 26, and 29 through 31. We see her product of her hands as in her works praising her in the eulogies of today and in the audience here represented. Several have said that they just regret not having more time with her. One summed it up perfectly. She provided so much comfort to those around her. I smile now, knowing that she is the one immersed in God's eternal comfort. We trust that because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, not based on merit of how good of a person Debbie was, that she is now enjoying her eternal reward and is with Jesus for all eternity. I said it to Debbie personally, but I'll say it again. Well done. You have left quite the legacy to emulate. We love you, Debbie, and you will be greatly missed. Candace Smith will come up now.
I first met Debbie 11 years ago when I first started attending Lighthouse, and it wasn't long after attending that I got saved. I was newly saved, attending Lighthouse by myself, and very, very shy. I had anxieties of big crowds and strangers, and absolutely dreaded the beginning of services when you go around shaking hands. I would always try to avoid that. I didn't know anyone, but I wanted to be there. One morning during the greetings and shaking of hands at Lighthouse, I met Debbie. And all of Debbie's friends can attest to how instantly comfortable and welcomed you always felt around her. Debbie became my friend instantly and became someone who I confided in, went to for advice, and someone who was always there. During the first year of attending Lighthouse and knowing Debbie, I attended my first ladies' retreat, Bible retreat. All the ladies broke up into groups to pray together. Shy and feeling lonely, Debbie approached me and asked if I'd pray with her. A couple ladies asked to join us too. The ladies started praying and sharing prayer requests, and I never said anything. Debbie, in her gentle, loving way, asked me if there's anything she could pray for me about. I burst into tears and said, I missed my friends. Debbie bowed her head and prayed that God would provide friends for me. God answered those prayers, and he still answers those prayers 11 years later. Every time I hear someone call me a friend, I think of that prayer Debbie prayed at that ladies' retreat. I'm reminded of God's faithfulness and goodness, and also Debbie's love. Debbie truly was an example of godly love, a love with no bounds.
I want to say a special thank you to Mom's community choir for coming out and singing for us and in memory of her. Mom was a member of this choir for some years and wasn't able to join them as much in the end as her health failed, but we appreciate your contribution in memory of her. Let's sing ourselves now. Our next hymn is Oh, the Deep, Deep Love of Jesus, and let's stand to sing together. People who desperately needed God's love, people who were lost in a dark and broken world, and came to make us new in his making of all things new. And so let's sing His Robes for Mine, one of Mom's favorite hymns.
In Christ I live, for in my
Well, it's encouraging to see so many that are here to celebrate the life of Debbie Talbert. And your presence is a testimony that she touched so many lives. And I know there are others even watching on live stream or aren't able to be here in person, but wanted to, wish they could, but are able to at least do that or watch the video at some point, but are also remembering a woman who touched their lives. As you heard Debbie speak, her words brought you encouragement, comfort. You were blessed by her smile and laugh, as we've heard. You were inspired by her wisdom. In Debbie, we were able to witness unshakable joy. We observed a settled peace in her that surpasses all understanding. Some of you were with her at the time when she was raising 5 children and got to observe that stage of her life. We were able to see her faithfully love her husband these 43 years. For many of you, Debbie was your pastor's wife, or maybe professor's wife, or maybe a missionary supporting the work of ministry at Foundation College. But Debbie never seemed to be playing a role as if it was a part with expectations. She was just authentic, genuine. She opened her life to others and listened and cared. She loved widely and yet also deeply. Debbie was certainly talented, especially with photography, as we have heard, and her paper crafts, and yet she used that talent to edify others. And we could go on and on talking about qualities of Debbie Talbert and sharing stories, and probably will do that in the next hour as we are together at lunch and remembering how the Lord used Debbie Talbert to influence our own lives. But I want to take just a few minutes to answer a question. Why? Why did Debbie Talbert live the way she lived? Why was she always so joyful, even through difficulty? Why could she face death with hope and peace? One of Debbie's daughters told me that a special scripture to her over the last several months has been Hebrews 11:1. That entire chapter of scripture is about faith. And this verse tells us what faith is. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is not wishful thinking, nor is it merely a positive outlook. Faith isn't hoping for the best, like Debbie would do as she would cheer for her favorite football team. No, faith is certainty in a future reality. Faith is conviction in something that you haven't yet seen. Oswald Sanders said that faith enables the believer to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. Why did Debbie Talbert live the way she did, with consistent joy and peace and hope? And why did she continue through chronic pain and even through a diagnosis of cancer? The answer is her faith. You see, faith is the lens by which we see God, ourselves, and everything around us. In fact, everyone has faith. There are things that you believe that affect the way you live. Even an atheist may claim, "I don't have faith," but he does have a system of beliefs that guides the way he lives. So faith, in and of itself, isn't necessarily good. It depends on what your faith is in. The ice over a frozen lake may be tempting, but beware. Make sure that you're not putting your trust in something that is not trustworthy. Faith in the wrong object can be damaging, even deadly. The same biblical author that defines faith then tells us what the proper object of our faith should be. He rehearses throughout history of men and women who had faith. Faith in God and faith in God's word. And then he addresses those living in the present. Therefore, he says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. You see, there are many objects in this world available for you to put your trust in. But Jesus is ultimately the only proper object of your faith. Look to Jesus. He is the founder and perfecter of our faith. The obituary that is in your program tells us that Debbie attended a youth camp when she was younger, and there she heard some good news. She heard that although she was a sinner, her sins could be forgiven. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that the wages of sin is death, that our sin separates us from a holy God. We were made to love him, to worship and serve him. But instead, we have rebelled against our Creator. And the good news is that God has intervened on your behalf. We recently celebrated Christmas, which is about God's Son leaving the glories of heaven and coming to earth and taking on human flesh. And he did all that for a purpose. The purpose to die for our sins. You see, the cross was a place where criminals were hung and tortured and killed. So why are there so many crosses in a cemetery? Why are crosses in church buildings? Why would even people have a cross in a piece of jewelry? It's because the cross has become a symbol of hope. Not just a place of execution, but hope. Because Jesus went to the cross. He lived a sinless life. He didn't deserve any punishment at all. But he hung on that cross. And as he hung there, God the Father took the sins of the entire world, your sins and mine, placed them on his innocent Son, and then poured out his wrath and judgment as if his Son had committed the crimes that we have done. Jesus paid for our sins completely. He died in our place. He paid the debt that we owe. We just sang a beautiful picture of that. His robes for mine. That's the picture. My filthy, sinful robe was placed on Jesus as he hung on the cross and was punished as if they were his. And his spotless righteous robe is given to anyone who believes in him. What a wonderful exchange. And that's good news. That's the message that Debbie heard many years ago. And that's the gospel that she believed for the rest of her life. Many of you heard Debbie share of her faith in Jesus, and you watched her live out that faith day by day. The Bible tells us that Jesus was placed in a tomb after he was taken down from that cross. But on the third day, he arose. Jesus is alive. He conquered sin and death. And he made a promise. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me, Jesus said, shall never die. That is the promise that Debbie firmly held to the end. Faith is the assurance of what is hoped for, the conviction of what is not seen. But now, that hope is a reality for Debbie. What was future is now present. What is invisible is now seen. Debbie is with her Savior in heaven. And so we grieve today, but not for her. We sorrow, but not as those who have no hope. Human death is a tragedy for those who remain here on earth. But if your faith is in Jesus Christ, then the separation brought about by death is temporary. Jesus' promise of eternal life is certain for all those who are trusting in him. What is your faith in? Debbie definitely left a legacy. She touched our lives, and we miss her. Debbie's greatest influence was the way her love and kindness pointed us to Christ. For only in Christ can we find eternal hope. I'll ask Dave to come now and lead us in another song that Debbie chose for us to sing. In Christ alone, my hope is found.
Let's stand together.
Thank you.
It's been a rugged couple years here in the Western Canada Baptist Fellowship with Verna and Ruth and Roger and now Debbie. I'm Michael Miller from Foundation Baptist Church in Calgary. Pastor Bud and Debbie were there for 20 years. And I'm grateful to be able to speak on behalf of those that have driven out from Calgary to express their love to you, Pastor Bud, and the family. Mrs. T and I had a surprising friendship. Me being a Clemson Tiger fan and her being a Buckeye fan. Told the family I wore the scarlet red tie today in honor of her. It's probably just as well that the last time they played, Ohio State killed Clemson. And you know what? Today I'm okay with that, Pastor Bud. I really am. We wish that we could carry more of the grief for you. We buried Lisa's dad 3.5 years ago, and the grief is real, and it's heavy, and it hits you in waves at times when you don't expect it. And we wish we could carry more of that for you, and we'll do what we can, and we are doing what we can through our prayers and our love. And everyone that's here, I think, would say that's why you're here today. But there's some of it that you just have to carry with the Lord. The heavy part. And he'll do that with you and for you. When I would teach at the Bible college, I would most of the time stay, Pastor Bud, in the guest room. I never got flowers in the guest room. But there were Calvin and Hobbes books, and that was good enough. But we would sit often at supper time, and Mrs. T would set out a nice meal, and we would just sit and talk. Oh, how I miss those times. Oh, you do too. So let's pray together and ask for grace for this family. Dear Lord, I pray for Pastor Bud, a dear friend, an example, and hero of the faith. And for Dave and Des and the kids, Laura and Sarah and Tim and Anna and Emma and Dr. Patterson and Jan and Elaine and others as well, Lord. We ask for continued grace, grace to trust your plan, grace to surrender to your plan and not try and fight it, grace to remember your wife and mom without bitterness, grace to sorrow with hope. Grace to wait with endurance. Grace to laugh again. And grace to anticipate the wonderful reunion someday. And for the friends gathered here, would you give them continued grace? Grace to love what Debbie loved. Grace to live as she lived. And grace to long to be where she is now. So, Lord, thank you for giving us the privilege of knowing this remarkable lady. Shouldn't surprise us that she was remarkable because you're a remarkable God and a remarkable Savior. But, oh, how this family needs your help right now. So we're trusting you to provide it for Jesus' sake.
I want to thank everyone who is here for being here today. And in just a moment, we'll be finished. And we would again invite each person here to join us for lunch, to take a moment to write your name or to write a memory of Mom in the book that's there, to look at her artwork as it's on the screen, and just to spend some time chatting with friends, other people who knew her. But before we do that, we'll sing one last hymn that she really liked. So let's sing For All the Saints.
For all.
for coming. You're dismissed.